That's the end of the first half. As the teams head to the locker room, the Spartans lead the Bulldogs by a score.
You guys stink.
Jeez, Coach, we're only down a couple of points.
No, I mean you guys really smell. You need to hit the showers. And here, I got every one of you new bars of soap from the Sterling Soap Company. Each bar is artisan crafted using natural ingredients and essential oils. They also have shave soaps, colognes, beard balm, and a whole lot more. Now get in there.
But Coach, we have another half to play.
I don't care. I can't stand to be around you.
A few minutes later.
All right, bring it in tight. You guys are still playing terrible, but you're smelling great out there. Now listen, you're going to need to stock up for the rest of the season. We got a lot of tough games left. So go to sterlingsoap.com after the game. That's S-T-I-R-L-I-N-G soap.com. You got that?
Yes, Coach.
Great. sterlingsoap.com on three. One, two, three.
sterlingsoap.com.
The 2025 college football playoff brackets are set. Announced earlier on Sunday, we are getting ready for those games. Going to talk about some controversy that came out of them and maybe some things they could do to fix it. We have all this and more in the history of football coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pig Pen, your portal to positive football history. And welcome to a college football playoff special episode here on this Monday morning, December 8th, 2025. We have some great history coming up here and a little bit of controversy that's come up in college football. And they may have the same problem in college football that the National Football League has. We'll get back to more of that in just a moment. Now let's get into the college football playoff bracket teams that were selected. It was no surprise that after the Big Ten championship, where number one in the nation, Ohio State, faced Indiana with the number two position, Indiana knocked off their rival Ohio State for the first time since 1988. And for the first time since the 1940s, Indiana won the Big Ten championship. Our friend Timothy P. Brown of FootballArchaeology.com has a great article on Indiana that just came out on Sunday, December 7th. Make sure you check that out. Some history of the Indiana program. But Kurt Cignetti, head coach of the Indiana Hoosiers, has done a remarkable job. Second year in a program for Cignetti, and he has really taken them from the bowels of the Big Ten to the top of the heap. And number one in the nation, number one seed in the college football playoff. Amazing job that he and his team have done, especially playing a very tough Ohio State team. And these two teams may end up playing again in the college football playoff. It's a very possible. They both get first-round byes in the brackets of 12. So maybe we'll see them again later on in the college football playoff. The third seed goes to the SEC champion, Georgia, who defeated Alabama on Saturday evening to take the SEC. 12-1, Kirby Smart has got his team really ready to go. They last won the national championship in 2022. And of course, Ohio State last won it last year under Coach Ryan Day. Cignetti and Indiana have never been to a college football championship game or won a championship, so this is a big deal for them. Another team that comes in fourth has never won a national championship, and that's Coach Joey McGuire's Texas Tech team that came in 12-1. They are the fourth seed as they ended up winning the Big 12 conference. Oregon comes in as an at-large bid at 11-1 from the Big Ten, and they are in the fifth spot. They get a home game there in Eugene, Oregon. And Ole Miss, under formerly Coach Lane Kiffin, who's now their assistant, has taken over. They have won a championship, but it was a claim consensus pick back in 1960. It was their last time they did it. And they've had three others that they've claimed that they are the national championships. Oregon has never won a national championship, and neither has Texas Tech. Texas A&M with three championships under the belt, last one coming in 1939. Coach Mike Elko's team is 11-1. They get in as a 7 seed. Oklahoma gets in as a number 8 seed from the SEC. Brent Venables is their head coach. 2000 was the last time they won a national championship, and they have won 7 national such titles over the course of the college football history. Alabama came in at 10-3. They are the 9th seed. Kalen DeBoer, they didn't look very good Saturday night against Georgia, but they beat Georgia earlier at Georgia. The last time they won a championship was in 2020. They have 18 national championships to their credit. The University of Miami Hurricanes, 10-2 under Mario Cristobal. They did not play this weekend, which is kind of an odd situation, which we'll get into in a second. But 2001 was their last national championship. They have 5 under their belt. And then you have a couple teams that won conference championships because they had 5. The committee had to choose 5 conference champions, the best 5 conference champions. And of course, Indiana won their championship, Georgia won their championship, Texas Tech. So they needed 2 more because everybody else that we mentioned so far is at large. They brought in Tulane, who won their championship at conference, and James Madison. So that leaves out the ACC's champion, Duke, who with an 8-5 record defeated Virginia in the ACC championship. But the only team that gets in from the ACC did not play in the ACC championship, and that's Miami. So the real problem here is maybe not with the college football playoff system. Maybe it's with the conference championships and how inconsistent they are of who gets to play in the conference championships. They all have their own rules, their own bylaws, who can put in a championship. But 3 teams that were left out that people are really talking about today is, first of all, Notre Dame, who with an 11-2 record lost their first 2 games, went on a dramatic 10-game winning streak, winning convincingly in all of those 10 games. Their only 2 losses were to Miami and to Texas A&M. Texas, who had 3 top 10 victories over top 10 teams, but had a couple sour losses along the way, they are left out on the outside of the college football playoff. And then you have, you know, Cinderella story, Vanderbilt, who, you know, has had a tremendous season, plays in a very strong SEC. They are on the outside looking in. So you have Tulane and James Madison, and nothing to slight them. They had both had great seasons. But would Tulane or James Madison lining up against Notre Dame or Texas or the other team that we just mentioned, would they be able to go head-to-head against these teams and play? And you have BYU that did not make it into the college football playoff. So that is very interesting. And then you have the Duke Blue Devils at 8-5 that won the ACC, and they're left out, which I don't think anybody ever considered they were going to be in, even if they won their conference championship, which they did. And they have no shot at getting in. So a little bit inconsistent that you let a team that was not even in their conference championship in, that had a better record than one of the teams that won it. But you know, that Miami is most definitely one of the top 12 best teams in the country we want to see play. But is Tulane and James Madison? That's the real question here. They've got themselves in a real dilemma having to invite some of these group of 5 conferences in and letting some of their championships in just to save face and keep peace. But the people want the best 12 teams in the playoff. I don't know that Tulane and James Madison has enough oomph to win a national championship against the Indianas, Ohio States, Georgias, and Texas Techs of the world. I don't know that they compete against the Oregon, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M and Oklahomas of the world, let alone Alabama and Miami. So, we might not have the best 12 teams in the country playing in this championship game. Now, there is so much more going on. This has got a very similar situation to what the NFL has with wanting to have divisional championships and division champions going into the playoffs, where sometimes you have the case where you have three really good teams from one division, you know, three good teams out of the four in a division, and one of them has to sit home while you have a team that won their division with a much poorer record getting a home game. Not the best place to have, you know, in your playoffs. You want the best teams competing for the postseason. That's what the fans want. That's what the teams want. That's what the coaches want. Obviously not what the leagues and the organizers of the NCAA and the college football playoff and the conferences of the college football want. They want their cake and eat it too. Well, that's going to backfire on him, and this might be the year that it does, by letting teams like Notre Dame, BYU, Vanderbilt, and some of the other ones sit out without being able invited into this tournament here. Very disappointing for those teams on the outside looking in. Very exciting for the Tulanes, James Madison's, Alabama, Miami's, who were all on the bubble coming into this. But we'll see what happens here. We got some great football coming up here starting the weekend of December 19th and 20th. And we'll see how these playoffs match up, and also see how the NFL playoffs are going to start shaping up here in December and early January to see how that goes. But need to fix a couple things for the next year. Either expand it or make it so it's the best 12 teams. Or don't even keep the rankings. You know, just rank them at the end of the year. You know, what the heck? They don't really mean anything anyway once you set that precedent. Hope this doesn't put you down too much, because we had some great football this weekend, and I've got to look forward to some great football coming up here, coming on. But we're filled with football history coming up all this week. Make sure you join us for Tuesday. We have Timothy P. Brown, as always, from footballarchaeology.com. On Wednesday, we're going to be talking about our Week 15 picks with our guest, Ed Cleese, who joins us each week to talk about our big, bold predictions. And we have some great other programming coming up as well on football history. Don't forget to check out our YouTube channel and our social media and the brand new pigskindispatch.com. Till next time, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Sports History Network, where legends live on and the past plays loud.
Welcome to the place where history's proud. From gridiron glory to the hardwood stars, from the racetrack heat to Olympic bars, it's the voices, the stories, the moments you miss, told by fans and pros who live for this. Hook and Famic, the Sports History Network, where the past comes alive. Podcasts and blogs that keep the flame high, from Babe to Brady, Alley to the Dome. If it's history and sports, then this is the home. SportsHistoryNetwork.com, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.